Baik, perkembangan seterusnya, Simposium Sasana BNM 2023 yang berlangsung pada Khamis menjadi wacana intelektual yang dihoskan oleh Bank Negara Malaysia. Acara sehari itu bertujuan untuk mempromosikan perbincangan bermakna mengenai isu-isu utama dan pembaharuan yang diperlukan untuk ekonomi Malaysia. Ia menampilkan pakar dan pemimpin pemikir dalam ekonomi sektor kewangan, kemampanan, melibatkan pelbagai topik berangkumi soal ringgit, dasar monetari, pendigitalan, jaringan keselamatan sosial, kewangan Islam dan kemampanan. Editor Najib Arif berkunjung ke simposium tersebut untuk melihat aspek tentang kod QR rentas sempadan.
Welcome to Negawani with me, Najib Arif. We are here at the Sasana Kijang for the Sasana Symposium 2023. A lot have been discussed since this morning, and of course, one of the things that being focused this morning is about the official launch of the basically the QR code payment linkages between Malaysia, Thailand, Indonesia, and also Singapore by the Governor of Bangkok this morning. And joining us this morning for this session is Kaiser Iskandar Anwaruddin, Director of Payment Services Policy Department Bangkok.
All right, Mr. Kaiser, help us to understand how does the implementation of the QR code payment linkages enhance basically the efficiency and also the, and convenience for cross-border transactions between these countries, the Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, and also Indonesia?
Thank you, Najib, for the question. So I think fundamentally what we've wanted to achieve is have the convenience of domestic payments in the cross-border space. Many of us know that cross-border payments can be a hassle. It has been known to be quite costly because the exchange rates could be high. There's lack of transparency. You don't know whether or not there are any hidden fees, and there are also instances where it is not that timely.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, what we've wanted to achieve with the cross-border QR payment linkages is something which is convenient, instantaneous, simple, and cheaper as well. So convenience. So what I mean by convenience is basically you can just simply use your existing mobile application, which you use domestically to scan Do It Now QR, then go abroad to the likes of Singapore, Indonesia, and Thailand to also scan there and pay, make payments for purchases there. So that's the first from the perspective of convenience. Secondly, in terms of timeliness, what happens here is that once you scan and agree to the transfer, the payment is made immediately, so the amount is immediately deducted from your account. At the same time, the merchant in Singapore, for example, receives the money in their account immediately as well. When it comes to transparency, I think if we look at once you scan the QR code, what you will immediately know is who you are going to pay to, the exchange rate that you're charged for that purchase, as well as the amount of ringgit that is going to be deducted from your account. So basically, it is about bringing cheaper, faster and more seamless payment transactions domestically into the cross-border space.
I'm going to touch about the fees and also the security aspect after this, but let's talk about the challenges of implementing in the first stage of the QR payment, right?
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges you can share, and how do you, Bank Negara basically, and also Indonesia, Thailand, and also Singapore, you know, overcome this?
Okay. Perhaps I can mention three challenges. I think the first one would be surrounding getting buy-in from the key stakeholders, getting the commitment, especially since this is a resource-intensive exercise and requires strong commitment. Secondly would be surrounding the timing. We actually started work in 2020 at the height of the pandemic, so many banks were quite focused on other initiatives at that point in time. The third challenge I would say is surrounding managing the differences in rules and regulations, the differences in the payment systems across the different countries. So to address these challenges, I think there were, I guess we were guided by three principles. The first one surrounded having a strong value proposition. We were keen to bring, as I mentioned earlier, seamless, cheaper, faster payments in the domestic space into the cross-border space. At the same time, these would bring greater benefits for regional trade and tourism, and that is something that was key for us, and all the participants were also on board given the strong value proposition. We also took a pragmatic approach towards implementation. where we recognize that when we implemented Thailand and Indonesia first, it was done on a pilot basis. What I mean by pilot is there were only a few financial institutions which were on board, which were ready at that point in time, and on the coverage of merchants were also a bit limited when we undertook the pilot. We only launched it full-fledged with the linkage with Singapore in at the end of March earlier this year. At that point, we already had 9 financial institutions already participating in this Malaysia-Singapore linkage. We had a merchant coverage of more than 82% at that point in time, and the likes of Indonesia and Thailand came on board full-fledged thereafter. The third part in terms of managing the differences in rules and regulations, I think one of the key standardization, harmonization of rules, regulations was not an outcome that we were striving for as we pursued this initiative. We knew that each country had its own unique features. Each country was different and also at different stages of development. And we had to respect their setup. We had to respect the rules and regulations there. And we also wanted to respect the domestic environment that each and every country was operating in. With that in mind, I can share that for each of these linkage, we actually had a project steering committee, which was chaired by jointly by both central banks.
It's a joint committee.
Yes, it is a joint committee. We had both central banks on board, the network operators and banks also on the committee. And this was the committee where we sat down to discuss and resolve all these issues that were identified during this project.
Let's talk about the fee. I know you touched a little bit about the fee and also the exchange rate just now, but how does it differ from the traditional method of transferring funds, especially for business?
Yeah, so a couple of points to mention on that. I think firstly, in terms of fees, there's actually no fees when you use cross-border QR payment. So similar to how you do it right now in Malaysia. If you go to a Mamak store, for example, you scan Do It Now QR, you are not charged any fee for that transaction. Similarly, when you go to Singapore, as an example, and scan the Nets QR there, you are not charged any specific fee. In terms of exchange rate, I can share that the exchange rate is something that is a commercial decision that is made by the individual, the participating financial institutions, but I guess how we look at it, it has to be competitive if it wants to compete against other payment instruments. And I guess based on random sampling, based on what we've seen so far, friends and family members using this service abroad, we have seen that these the exchange rates have been quite competitive, very comparable to even better than some of other payment instruments.
Let's talk about the privacy, because of course this is the main concern for a lot of people, right? But what steps have been taken to ensure the security and also privacy of users' data, especially for cross-border QR payment?
Yeah, I think that's a very important point. And I think for Malaysia as well, for Bank Negara as well, data security, data privacy has been of utmost importance, and that perception or view has been consistent across all our strategic partners when we have established this payment linkage. With that in mind, I can share a few things. Firstly, each and every participant in this linkage would be subject to operating procedures and rules of the network operators, the likes of PayNet. These rules would include expectations surrounding data privacy, risk management, cybersecurity. So that is one of the measures, one of the controls that are already there to protect privacy. Secondly, all the participating financial institutions are also subject to regulation, as well as ongoing supervision by the respective regulatory authorities, such as Bank Negara Malaysia, MAS, the Bank of Thailand, as well as the Bank Indonesia. So with that in mind, we have also seen every regulator continue to strengthen expectations surrounding cybersecurity, managing IT risk, managing data. So that's also something that has been key to ensure that people are confident. I think the important thing is people continue to have trust, people continue to have confidence in using these payment services. Maybe just a couple of other points to mention. Firstly is surrounding ongoing supervision, cooperation between the various authorities. I think that's where we have been leveraging existing supervisory cooperation and information sharing protocols that are already available to support the joint supervision of these services. And finally, it comes back to also greater awareness and vigilance amongst the consumers, amongst the users. And as you may be aware, I think that's where a lot of energy and efforts has been taken by the Banegara, by the industry, by the government, to make sure that people continue to remain vigilant when using digital payment services.
Yeah. Let's talk about numbers, because how has or how will this implementation basically affect the volume and also the frequency of cross-border transaction, and also in terms of dollar and cents, or in terms of percentage, if you have that number to see after the launch back in March,
yep,
up until right now?
Yeah, I think I can say that it's a bit too early to talk about take-up rate at this point in time. I think what we have seen is since the live implementation in March, we're optimistic looking at the numbers. We have seen a pickup in interest in using these services. I can share, as I mentioned earlier, we already have 10 financial institutions participating from Malaysia.
Do you expect more?
Yes, we do expect more to come in. We already have 82% of our merchant touch points already onboarded, and with those numbers going up, with people travelling more and more abroad, and I think with greater awareness, greater visibility in terms of the services that are available, I think we should expect the numbers to increase over the coming months and coming years.
What about the competitiveness of the financial industry as a whole? How do you think that the introduction of the bilateral QR system in payment linkages will basically influence and also basically influence the competitiveness of the financial sectors regionally, not just Malaysia?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. I think from our perspective, at this stage, it's not about competition.
Yeah.
It has been about making sure that people can have access to cheaper, faster, and more seamless payment experience in the cross-border space. And from our perspective, we see that as having greater benefits for regional trade, regional tourism, and later on when we move towards other use cases to facilitate remittances as well. And at the end of the day, that is something that could potentially make support economic growth in the region, and that's basically where we are coming from when we push for this initiative.
All right, last but not least, now we have three countries. Is there any plan to expand further, not just in this region, outside of this region, with Banegara?
On that point, I think we actually have quite a lot on our plate over the next couple of years.
Yes.
I can share that for the QR payment use case, we are working quite closely with the Philippines right now. So that would be the next linkage that we're working on from a QR perspective. Hopefully, that would be up and running at the start of next year. At the same time, we're also working on the next use case, which is P2P transfers or account-to-account transfers or remittances. So with that, what you will be able to do is actually transfer your money to a friend in Singapore, for example, from your account to his account, simply by referencing his mobile phone number rather than his account. So that is something that we're working on quite closely with Singapore and Thailand. We hope to have that up and running by the end of this year. Beyond that, Malaysia, together with our ASEAN 5 counterparts, as well as the BIS Innovation Hub in Singapore, we're also working on Project Nexus. And this is a project where we are looking at a multilateral payment connectivity model. as you would understand, right now we are working on bilateral linkages, one by one, Malaysia, Singapore, and it is resource intensive. It's not scalable. Yeah. So what we want to see is a much more multilateral payment connectivity model that is much more scalable. So moving forward, once we link the various retail payment systems onto this multilateral platform. If there are already 10 countries on that platform, once a new entity comes in, they will have immediate access to all 10 payment systems.
Countries?
Right now, the focus is actually on the ASEAN 5, and I think we are taking a gradual approach towards Nexus, where we are focusing on our closest regional partners in ASEAN, the ASEAN 5, and then that's where once we have established something which is live in implementation, then we can start thinking about expanding it beyond ASEAN.
All right, Mr. Kaiser, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Najib. It's been a pleasure.